You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
I don't know about you, but I had a wonderful time here on Easter. There were so many smiling faces, all the looks of expectancy, full pews, and the kids that were out there hunting for the 4,000 Easter eggs. They found all 4,000 of them. All of this was very, very invigorating. But what I've always found amusing on this great day of celebration for the church is that it's also a day that there's a bit of a dig taken at certain folks in churches around the world. Perhaps you know what I am talking about. One of the most maligned groups in Christendom, the C&E crowd. That's the current abbreviation for folks who attend on Christmas and Easter. In fact, I had a number of people at the door on Easter who introduced themselves as C&E people. Now, there are any number of preachers who are quick to circulate jokes about this group, and at the very least, making comments like, well, we actually meet here 52 Sundays of the year. There are also comments along the line that people share, if we can only get these people to be here every week. I think you know the scenario. And I used to think that way and have a bit of a pastor judgy attitude about this group. I used to be one of those folks that was happy to spin a story like the one about the three buildings in a town that were overrun by squirrels. There was the town hall and the hardware store and the church. The town hall brought in some cats, but after they tore up all the files, the mayor got rid of the predators, and soon the squirrels were back. The hardware store humanely trapped the squirrels and set them free outside. But 3 days later, the squirrels climbed back in. Only the church came up with an effective solution. They baptized the squirrels and made them members, and now they see them only on Christmas and Easter. So there I go. I guess I'm not totally converted, am I? But thankfully, grace does abound. But seriously, friends, it would be a very grim day indeed if there were no C&E attendees, because it would mean that the church has become so insular and isolated that it is no longer even worth checking out. I like to believe that the religious impulse, even if it is only twice a year, is something we are called to cultivate. It is also a reminder that the Holy Spirit and grace continue to be at work in our world, and that the story of the message of Jesus still captivates our human imagination and is compelling in so many ways. After all, friends, to preach the love of God and the love of neighbor is a construct that has always seemed to be at odds with our human history. That message is evergreen. It does not fade away. And the need for living out that message never seems to dissipate. There are many who would say, however, that Jesus' message is inspiring, but the church is anything but. More and more people question the validity of church, and frankly, they are right to do so. Too often, our faith communities we call church are much more interested in the trappings of power and control. Sometimes loving neighbor has been so obfuscated that the reason for our being is to point out everything that is wrong with the world and everything that is wrong with each other. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, An Altar in the World, made this observation. The problem is many of the people in need of saving are in churches. And at least part of what they need saving from is the idea that God sees the world the same way they do. Yes, we are, friends, an imperfect bunch who frequently stumble over ourselves. But I do not believe it is the end of the church. And over the next few weeks, we're going to together explore the question, why the church? Why the church? It is a place where we can grow. It is a place where we can grow in faith. It is a place where we can grow in compassion. It is a place where we can grow in our experience of God. And that is something that followers of Jesus realized from the first days of the fledgling movement that became Christianity. The Christian church, you may remember, began as a movement within Judaism. The Acts of the Apostles, the book from which our text came this morning, talks a lot about the creation of the church during the first century. At first, this sect within Judaism, some considered a reform movement, if we want to call it that, was not creating waves. But that did not last for long. We know that there was persecution that started to take place, persecution of Jews upon Jews. Saul of Tarsus, you remember, who later was named Paul the Apostle, persecuted early on these first followers of Jesus. We also might remember that Saul, later to be Paul, had a dramatic conversion experience, and he did a complete 180-degree turn and began his evangelistic work. At the same time, Peter and the other disciples were still focusing on working of establishing communities of those people who followed Jesus. Now, what we heard mentioned this morning, the church in Antioch, one of the first churches in early Christianity, is credited, Peter is credited with having started that congregation. And this also is the place where it was the first time that the word Christian was used to name followers of Jesus. Prior to that, they were part of a movement that had been called the Way. Well, the account we hear about Antioch focused on the great numbers of people who were finding power in this message and were being converted and were participating in the life of the church. It caught the attention of those who were in Jerusalem, and they eventually sent Barnabas to join the people. And when he got there to Antioch, he was absolutely amazed at what was happening in this community. He continued to spend time instructing people, helping them to grow, and eventually he went out to Tarsus to find Paul and brought him with Antioch, and together they stayed there for a year instructing these new believers, building up the church, helping them to grow in their faith and in their experience of what it meant to be community. The important point of this text for us, friends, is that the first followers and believers realized that it was in community that they would find support and encouragement and grow in their understanding of God. And while this perhaps was not something new to those who were Jewish, this was something quite new for the Gentile Christians coming together in this faith community. Part of the genius of the early Christian church was the emphasis on community and on growing communities. The model they gave us that is still very clear is that it is in community that we are best able to find strength and hope, and it is within community that we are equipped to grow in our experience of faith, to grow in our practice of faith. The challenge, of course, for us in this place and this time is the need for us to perhaps rethink what we mean by church. So you know where I'm coming from. These days, I believe that church ultimately is about the local expression, the fact that you and I meet here week after week in Westwood. Church really is about that local gathering of those who come together because they have chosen to follow Jesus, or at least try to figure out what it might mean to follow Jesus in their lives. The institution, on the other hand, that we call church, in its many expressions, I believe, are what people are now looking at somewhat askew. And the institutional church has no one to blame but itself. We know only too well that the institution has a checkered history of corruption, the quest for power and wealth, and all of those things that are problems for the human family. And friends, it really should be no surprise to us because the church is made up of people. People at our worst and people at our best. Some say we should give up on church altogether. I don't believe that. If I believed that, I wouldn't be standing here on Sunday. I believe there is enormous potential for local expressions of church, for local expressions like ours that focus on living out Jesus' teaching, for local expressions that are willing to challenge the moribund institution, for local expressions that are willing to proclaim that oppression and exclusion must stop if we are to be God's family together. Maybe, friends, we need another word. But for now, we have the word church. And I'm not willing to give up on that. So why the church? Because it transforms us. It helps us to grow, to become better and different people. And for me to make sense of that, I don't need to look any further than my own personal story. As many of you know, I was not really a real churched person growing up. I had some affiliation with Roman Catholicism. I was sent to a Presbyterian Sunday school long enough to get a Bible, so I did that for a couple of years. But for most of my life growing up, I really did not participate with any intentionality in church. It wasn't until I was a young adult when I started asking deep, profound questions about meaning and purpose, did I start to consider the fact that maybe, somehow, in a strange way, God was involved in all of this. And so I got involved in church, first as a musician, and then very passionately becoming a member for the first time in my life of a congregation. I was like that proverbial sponge in that setting because there was so much to learn and so much opportunity to growth, and I was experiencing this miracle of community where I was coming in contact with people who cared about me deeply, who loved me, and were not family relations, and I had never in my life experienced anything like that before, this strange, weird community that we call church. And it was because of that church community investing in me, caring about me, helping me to grow, that I was able to articulate and understand, finally, this call to ministry. Now, Linda was the one that got me involved in church. I'm not sure that's what she had expected when she invited me to come to church. Maybe still thinks I went a little bit overboard, but, you know, that's just reality. So here I am. And as I look back and I think back over the ensuing years, I've become a changed person because of the church. I will freely confess that I had a fairly narrow vision as a young adult, and that everything was black and white, and you either fit within it or you didn't. But it was because of my encounters with people in the church who caused me to expand my thinking, who challenged me on things that I thought I believed, that over time, the person standing before you now is a very different person than I was when I was 20 years old, and that is because of the church. The church helped me to grow in ways I could never imagine. It gave me a sense of purpose. It gave me a sense of belonging and finding a place where I could exchange deep ideas with other people, and it wasn't threatening. The church has made all the difference, I believe, in making me the adult I am now. And when I look at that and when I see the way it transformed me and worked in my life, when I answer the question, why the church? My answer is absolutely. Because the church helps us to grow. It helps us to change. It helps us to transform. Where else can you come on a Sunday morning if you're hurting and know that there are people who will listen to you and provide you comfort and hope, or at the same time give you the space if you need that? Where else can you go where people ask about what's happening in your family? Where else can you go that we bless prayer shawls to send our prayers not only to people we know but people we don't know and we will never meet? Where else do people gather to bring their resources together to try to affect change in communities for families that, again, we may never meet and may never know? Friends, that's the beauty of the church. Because the church, when we say yes to becoming a part of this place, when we say yes to wanting to be a follower of Jesus, we begin this journey of transformation that goes on throughout our entire life. Think for a moment. Let's pause for a moment. What would life be like without church, this local expression of the community of faith? Pause and think and meditate. What would your life be like? If you're like me, it would really be hard to make sense of life without this backbone. And as frustrated as we may all get at times, as challenged as we might feel because of institutional decisions over which we feel we have little control, I don't believe the response is to give up. I think the response for us is really to be the church. You know, friends, it's like that Sunday school song many of us learned long ago. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Folks, I believe in the church. I believe in the need for church. And I believe that all of us working together can create this amazing place where people grow, where people feel touched by God's Spirit, and where we proclaim the risen Christ and the hope it represents for all of us. What do you think? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.